Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. The Benedictine Abbey of Monte Cassino was four times razed to the ground and as many times rebuilt. Last time it was pulverized was during the Second World War, in battle and bombings by the Allied forces. It was 1944. Before that, it was a wonderful place. That's according to the personal witness of English writer D.H. Lawrence, who leaves us a record of his visit there in the stone-cold February of 1920. In a few moments, I'll be bringing you spattering of excerpts of this description, a classic in its kind. A description of Monte Cassino prior to the tragic wartime destruction. When for the Germans, Cassino became the impregnable centre of the Gustav Line, and for the Allies fighting their way up the peninsula, the obstacle on the road to Rome. Listen on then, as oblivious of what was to come, Lawrence recounts his climb towards the vast monastery rearing above him from its buttresses. Sean Patrick Lovett reads these excerpts for us.
We twisted up and up the wild hillside, past the old town, past the old castle, past the last villa between tree and rocks. We saw no one. The whole hill belongs to the monastery. A huge, square-like, fortress place of the 16th century, crowning the near distance. We went up the slope under the big, tunnel-like entrance, and were in the grassy courtyard, with the arched walk on the far sides, and one or two trees. It was like a grassy cloister, but still busy. Black monks were standing chatting. An old peasant was just driving two sheep from the cloister, and an old monk was darting into the little post office.
And upon entering the monastery, up the narrow stairs and into the long, old, naked white corridors, Lawrence then describes the stunning view from the balcony of one of the bedrooms, beyond the clustered buildings of the farm below, and the oak woods and arable fields of the hill summit, and even further beyond.
Beyond the gulf where the world's valley was, and all the mountains that stand in Italy on the plains, as if God had just put them down ready-made. Isn't it wonderful? Ah, the most wonderful place on earth.
The most wonderful place on earth, then, this vast monastery, where Lawrence describes, among other things, a Benvenuto Cellini casket of lapis lazuli blue as cornflowers, a courtyard designed by Bramante, all stone and colonnades of arches going round and round, full of sunshine, a little bit ornate but still jolly, sunny and pale stone waiting for lively people, and a crypt where modern mosaics glowed in wonderful colours, and fascinating fantastic trees and birds, rather like a scene in the theatre. But for Lawrence too, Monte Cassino was most of all a sacred place.
A sacred place, where in the ancient cell, away under the monastery, all the sanctity started. A hilltop, which must have been one of man's intense sacred places for 3,000 years.
Never, not even in his wildest dreams, could Lawrence have imagined how, two decades on, this most wonderful place on earth would be blown to smithereens by the Allied forces, in a series of bombings which began on the 15th of March, 1944, as British author Rawley Trevelyan describes in his book Rome 44, The Battle for the Eternal City.
As 0 hours approached, everyone fell silent. Then there was a distant drone. And soon this grew into a rumble and a throb. Fleets of black specks could be seen, trailing long, straight scarves of white vapor. Then these specks turned silver, and the planes were suddenly overhead. Liberators, fortresses, marauders, Mitchells, 1,000 feet up, and then they dipped and opened their bellies. The war correspondent, Christopher Buckley, saw sprout after sprout of black smoke leaping from the earth, coiling upwards like some dark forest of evil fantasy. The ancient brother, Carlo Magno, the last survivor of the Benedictine monks, and a few starving sheep and goats roamed into the vomit-sweet stench of death.
And later on, following another of the bombings, a witness gives his impressions.
Entering Cassino was a vision of the end of the world. It looked as if it had been raked over by some monster comb and then pounded all over by a giant hammer.
A vision of the end of the world you find little sign of at the Abbey of Monte Cassino today. That's if you avoid the war graves nearby. Hard to forget, this is where thousands died in battle. And that's if you omit tracking down traces recorded in writing or safeguarded in eclectic memorabilia housed in cases. The place has been entirely rebuilt. Sprite, cube-like, modern architecture covers the vast area, with walls that have ears for the spiritual legacy of Saint Benedict, walls that help wipe away the tragic past, that stench of death, those sprouts of smoke like some dark forest of evil fantasy. So the spirit of Benedict may live on here in this cradle of Western monasticism, whereas the hopeful words of the Latin motto of the monastery, Succisa Virescit, indicate when you cut something down, it grows back, or rather more poetically, when a tree trunk is severed, it then sprouts forth and flourishes. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.